Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today is Sunday, September 12, 2021. The time is 2:03 p.m. Please silence all cell phones. Present today, Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Olson is online, Senator Wilikowski is online, Senator Wilson, and Senator Hoffman. Today's agenda, permanent fund advisory vote. SB 53, permanent fund advisory vote. This is the second hearing on SB 53. Our intention is to consider a committee substitute. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let's go ahead and move that we adopt for Senate Bill 53, version W, which is 32-GS1693/W-Newman, as our working document.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. We'll have a CS introduction by Ms. Schein, and she's available for questions, as well as we have Alexi Painter standing by as well.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Erin Schein, and I'm staff to co-chair Bishop and to the Senate Finance Committee. The committee substitute aims to accomplish the following. It replaces the current permanent fund dividend formula with a stepped-up payment, providing for an $1,100 PFD in fiscal years 22 and 23, $1,200 in fiscal year 24, $1,300 in fiscal year 25, and then $1,300 adjusted for inflation starting in fiscal year 26. However, this CS also provides a conditional language section to pay for a 50% of the percent of market value permanent fund dividend if $700 million of new revenues are enacted by December 15th of 2024. This stepped approach and the revenues outlined in the CS removed the need for the 1.5% overdraw of the earnings reserve account and is no longer in this version. There are multiple technical and conforming changes to the CS compared to the judiciary version that came to the committee. And due to the difference on when the 50% of the percent of market value is enacted or when it would be paid, so I'll highlight those as I go. So starting in section one, I will outline, again as I go, the changes between the two versions and try and make some clarifying comments. So section one of the bill is a legislative intent section. There were removed two of the subsections, which were two and three out of the judiciary version. So now the legislative intent is to implement the recommendations of the 2021 Comprehensive Fiscal Plan Working Group, and it allows for adequate time to debate, analyze, and implement the revenue measures and cost reductions required for the long-term financial stability of the state. Moving to section two, this is the AS 3713140 A and B section. There are no changes from the previous version. These are the income sections of the permanent fund. Section three, which is on page two, line 19, this is starting the statutes of disposition of income of the permanent fund. That's AS 3713145, and section three deals with subsection B. This amends subsection B to provide that the amount appropriated each year from the earnings reserve account to the dividend fund, which is AS 4323045, is as follows: $1,100 in fiscal years 22 and 23, $1,200 in fiscal year 24, $1,300 in fiscal year 25, and $1,300 adjusted for inflation each fiscal year after fiscal year 25 by computing the consumer price index for the two previous calendar years and then computing the percentage change between the first and second calendar year and then applying that rate to the value of the dividend paid for the fiscal year just ended. I will say that there's a following section in section 9 that places a cap that the $1,300 adjusted for inflation, the cap on that is 50% of the percent of market value in that year. Moving to section four, this is the conditional effect section, and this is where section 14 is the conditional effect as I outlined before. if the $700 million in revenue is received or enacted at a certain time, that this section would then replace the previous section of the permanent fund dividend. So this amends AS 3713-145B to provide that the amount appropriated each year from the earnings reserve account under AS 3713-140B, which is the percent of market value, is 50% to the dividend fund and 50% appropriated to the general fund. I will say that there are slight changes from the version that came from the judiciary version. On subsection 1 for the 50% to the dividend fund, previously it was not less than 50%, and in the previous version it had stated that up to 50% may be appropriated to the general fund. In this version, it's just a straight 50-50 with no, that language gone. Section 5, you'll find on page 4, line 2. This is a technical and conforming section. There's the only change between section 5 and 6 is the conditional effect. They are reversed based off of the timing of the percent of market value, 50% dividend. In the previous section, section 6 was the new law, and section 5 would have been enacted if the conditional language in the judiciary version hadn't been met. So these are the only technical and conforming, is that they are switched in their timing. And these have to do with the inflation-proofing statutes. Sections 7 and 8 are also similarly situated. That's on page 5, line 6, and then section 8 is on line 17. These are for the Amrita-Hess statutes, and it applied the same logic on the timing of the percent of market value, 50% to PFDs. Moving on to section 9 on page 5, line 28. This is the subsection F is identified to say that if the $1,300 PFD adjusted for inflation, this provides the cap that it may not exceed 50% of the percent of market value in the current year that it's being paid, and also limits the combined total for the appropriation from the earnings reserve account to the dividend fund and the appropriation from the earnings reserve to the general fund to the amount available for appropriation under the percent of market value statutes. Moving on to section 10. There were no changes from the previous version. This is to deal with the Mental Health Trust Fund statutes. Section 11 and 12 as well, there were no changes from the previous version. Section 13, this repeals AS 13-145E and F. In the previous version, this would take effect immediately. In this is also tied to the conditional effect in Section 14, which I will cover now. Section 14 is the conditional effect on page 7, line 10. This is uncodified law, and it provides a conditional effect for Sections 4, 6, 8, and 13 of this Act to take effect only if, by December 15, 2024, the Commissioner of Revenue and the Director of Legislative Finance jointly agree and notify the revisor statutes before December 15th of 2024 that revenue measures anticipated to generate at least $700 million of new annually reoccurring general fund revenues when compared to the annual general revenue or the general fund revenue from the statutes as they read on June 30th, 2021 have been passed by the legislature and acted into law. And for purpose of this section, general fund revenue does not include revenue from the permanent fund. Section 15 on page 7, line 25, provides a conditional effective date for sections 4, 6, 8, and 13 if the requirements outlined in section 14, which is the conditional effect, have been met. Section 16, which is page 7, line 20, page 7, line 27, the effective date for the, except for in section 15, it provides an immediate effective date. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to answer any questions the best ability I can.
Questions from committee members? Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for clarity, on page 7, under the conditional effect, just to, I guess, restate that, some of that section, the the measures to generate revenue of $700 million need to be new annually reoccurring general fund revenue. I was just thinking when the committee members, you know, work through this and come up with potential amendments and or talk with our other colleagues so we're all clear on the CS. And then section C on page 7, line 23, makes it clear that general fund revenue does not include revenue from the permanent fund. So there was some mention of that yesterday, just for clarity, so everybody's on the same page. And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Ms. Shine or Alexi Painter is here just to, we had the presentation yesterday, and if anybody wants to ask Alexi Painter any questions per the models that we saw yesterday.
Mr. Chairman. Senator,
yes, who is this, Senator Wilikowski?
Yes. Yeah, question for Ms. Shine. This in section 3, it says the legislature may appropriate funds. If the legislature chose to not appropriate funds, could they appropriate for less than the dividend? In other words, could they appropriate for a zero dividend or a $500 dividend if they chose to?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, my understanding would be that as it is today, that the legislature may appropriate any amount for the permanent fund. This does not change that as based off of the court case, the Wilikowski court case, or Supreme Court decision, that it is possible that the legislature could appropriate less or more.
And follow up, Mr. Chairman?
Follow up.
Is it contemplated that there would be a constitutional amendment that would go along with this?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, this CS does not contemplate tying this the statute change to a constitutional amendment. I know that the judiciary version did have a conditional effect that tied it to a constitutional amendment either being passed or not passed by the vote of the people, but this CS does not. That does not also preclude the legislature from passing a constitutional amendment in conjunction with this piece of legislation.
Thank you.
Other questions online or from the table? Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What's the plan for deficits, if there are any deficits, in terms of, is this going to be paid out of the CBR, ERA? Is there language in this bill that addresses that type of concern?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, the CS does not identify any deficits in the bill itself. As for the plan, I would say that each legislature, as they approach the operating budget, would have to weigh each expenditure as it is now.
Thank you.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think just for clarity, though, and I think this bill's pretty fresh, so as I recall, the appropriation in this bill for the dividend would go from the earnings reserve account or the permanent fund to the dividend fund and then out to that dividend process. Is that not correct?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, that is correct. The dividend is paid from the earnings reserve account to the dividend fund in this version.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, but I think just to put a finer point, I believe that section 2 describes that it will not exceed the 5% draw. So even if the source of the funds is the earnings reserve account, it is in essence, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Shine, it's capped at the 5%. So if, for example, we couldn't afford $1,100 in fiscal year 22 or 23 or whatever in 1,200, 2024, section 2 does limit what can be drawn from the ERA. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, in essence, yes. There in AS 3713-145, E and F provide the caps for what can be transferred from the earnings reserve to the dividend fund and from the earnings reserve to the general fund, and they in conjunction require that the draw from the earnings reserve stay within the 5% of market value in that year.
Thank you.
Senator Wilson.
But as I think Senator Wilikowski was pointing out, that this would not stop the legislature from using a different fund source to do a transfer to that fund in order to pay out these dividends.
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, that is correct. The legislature has the power of appropriation, and where they do, as it's outlined in the bill, the permanent fund dividend would come from the earnings reserve account of the general fund.
Any further questions? I'll remove my objection. Is there any further objection to adopting the CS as our working document? Seeing none, the CS before us is adopted. Any further committee discussion? Seeing none, we'll set the bill aside, and we're going to recess to the call of the chair.